doing communion this morning, and as I was looking at that this week, one of the things that came to my mind was, you know, the old covenant versus the new covenant. And because that's what has happened. When Jesus came, he did away with the old covenant, and there's a new covenant in his blood. One of the things that I realize as I'm looking at those is there's a couple of things that has never changed. And one of those being love God with your whole being. That's always been there. You know, it's something that God has expected from us the whole time is to love him with our whole heart, with our whole soul, our strength, every part of us, to love him. And to love our neighbor as ourself. In Deuteronomy, it talks about loving God. In Leviticus, it talks about loving our neighbor. So that's been around for a long time. That's not something new. In the Old Covenant, God set up laws. Working through Moses, in Exodus 24, this is verse 3, it says, "Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do.' Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord." Well, we know how well they did, right? They do about as well as we do. You know, we struggle with doing exactly what God wants us to do, and that's just part of life. That's part of that human nature, that sin nature that's within us. But that doesn't mean that we don't strive to do that, to do what God calls us to do, to live the way he calls us to live. Under the old covenant, there was also sacrifices. You know, the sacrificial system was set up as they came out of Egypt, and they set up the sacrificial system in the tabernacle, and there was, I don't even know how many sacrifices for how many different things. I mean, there was a lot. You remember clear back there? I mean, it's been almost a year ago that we read that, right? Just amazing the amount of sacrifices. But God was using that as a picture. In Hebrews 10:11, it says, "Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin." And that was what the point that God was making was that we can make all these sacrifices, we can have all these old ordinances, but in reality, it really doesn't do the job, because he was pointing towards Jesus, that Jesus was going to be the one that really was going to take care of it. Within the sacrifices, there's always blood involved in the sacrifice. If you go clear back into Genesis, when God was dealing with Abraham. So Abraham, God calls Abraham out of his land, away from his family, and God makes a covenant with Abraham. And you remember how he did that? He took all these different kinds of animals, he split them in half, one side here, one side here. And this was a cultural thing also. Then normally what would happen then is both parties would walk between those and basically saying, if I break the covenant, this was what will happen to me. But what happened in this one was basically God put Abraham to sleep and God walked between there, saying that this covenant is solely based on me as God, and that I am promising you that your descendants and all the people of the world actually will eventually be blessed through you. And that what did Abraham have to do? He had to live by faith, right? I mean, that's what was required, that he would live by faith. And God said his faith was accounted to him as righteousness, that it gave him right standing with God because of his faith. And that's still where we are today, is faith. Deuteronomy 12:27. It says, "And you shall offer your burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, on the altar of the Lord your God, and the blood of your sacrifice shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God. It's always amazed me when I think about, you know, the picture of the sanctuary or the tabernacle when they were making the sacrifices and the amount of blood that was involved. I mean, you look at how many animals that they slaughtered and how much blood was involved. And God was using that as a picture that there had to be blood to cover sin. But there really was only going to be one person whose blood would really cover sin. So then the new covenant. What's this new covenant look like? Well, you know what's part of the new covenant? Love God. Love your neighbor. It's still there. It's still part of the new covenant. This is what we are to do. Hebrews 8:6. Excuse me. Hebrews 8:6 says, "But now he, Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, a new covenant, which has been enacted on a better promise." There still needed to be a sacrifice made. And Luke 22:20, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "And in the same way, he, Jesus, took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" That there was still a sacrifice that had to be made. In John 1:29, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Because that picture of the perfect sacrifice was the perfect unblemished lamb. And that's what John was saying is, "Behold Jesus. He is that perfect unblemished lamb that is going to be sacrificed for us to take away our sin, to be a covering for our sin." Hebrews 9:15 says, "For this reason, he, Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that, since a death has taken place," Jesus' death, "for the redemption of the transgressions or the sins that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." This new covenant where Jesus would die for the redemption of our sins, to take care of our sins. And there's also blood involved. Again, even in the new covenant, there was blood involved. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus," because Jesus shed his blood, we can then enter into the Holy of Holies. Remember, there was only one priest once a year that could enter into the Holy of Holies, and he had to make sacrifice before he could even go in. And if he didn't, they were going to have to drag him out because he couldn't stand before God without the sacrifice of blood. But it wasn't just once. He had to continually make that sacrifice over and over and over. Where Jesus, the sacrifice was once, made once and for all. His blood took care of the sacrifice forever. And that is good news. That is the gospel, that Jesus came and died for us. And to enter into the new covenant, we need to believe that good news. We need to accept that good news. 1 Corinthians 15. Starting in verse 1, this is Paul speaking to Corinthians. He says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel," or the good news, "which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Whether then it was I or they who preach, and so you believed. That's the gospel. That Jesus died for us, and he was raised again to show the power of his sacrifice. That's the good news, that Jesus came and shed his blood for us, once and for all, done, finished. But we still need to accept that. We still need to believe that that's true. We need to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, so that we can then enter into that new covenant. So now that there is this new covenant, how do we live in that new covenant? Well, first off, love God, love your neighbor, and love one another. It hasn't changed a whole lot. Still kind of the same thing, right? Love God. And if we're loving God with our whole being, we're going to live out the way that what God wants us to live. If we're truly loving him, if you love someone, don't you want to please them? Don't you want to do things to make them happy? So if you love God, do things that makes God happy. Live in a way that pleases him. Don't grieve his heart over living just any old way you want to live, believing that, well, you know, I'll live by grace. You know, God will forgive me. Yeah, he will, if you ask him to forgive you. But if you intentionally keep on sinning, it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. We're to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Because there's that battle. There's that battle between the flesh and the Spirit that happens daily. And we need to decide, so which one of those are we going to feed? And we need to be feeding the Spirit. And we feed the Spirit by being in God's Word, by being in relationship with God, by seeking God always. First John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded. So it's not just a, well, you know, that'd be nice if you did that. No, he's saying this is a commandment. You need to do it. You need to absolutely do it. Mark 12:29. Someone came and asked Jesus, so what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus' response is, this is the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. To love God. There is nothing greater than to love God. He loved us so much that he was willing to allow his son to die for us. Right? You know, those of you who are parents, put yourself into that place of saying, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice my child for those people who may not even believe. I mean, let alone for those of us who decide to believe. But he allowed his son to die and to be ridiculed for those who wouldn't even believe. Because the sacrifice is available to them. Salvation is available to everyone. And yet God knew not everyone was going to accept it. And yet, he gave his son, even for them. Even for them. So as we enter into communion here this morning, you know, that's what we need to be reminded of. Reminded of that great sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that God made for us in allowing his son to go through what he did. I mean, it's like every time I think about or read about what Jesus did, it's just, I just really try to put myself into that place of what he really went through. You know, the literally walking down the street, he's been beaten and ridiculed and spit on. It said he was so beaten you couldn't even recognize him. And yet he's walking down the street and people are still hurling insults at him as he's headed for the cross. And yet he did it because he loved those people. It's just, it's a good thing he was God, because he's the only one that could do it. You know, think about when he's in the garden and, you know, they come to arrest him and, hey, if I wanted to, I could call down angels and that would be it. It would be done. And yet he didn't. He said, nope, I'm submitting to the authority of my Father, and this is what needs to happen. And he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen, yet he was willing to do it. So as we come to communion this morning, that's what we want to remember, is that blood that was shed, his body that was destroyed for us. And we need to remember that every day. We need to remember that every day. You know, before you even get out of bed, the blood of Jesus, and this is what it did for me. So now how should I live because of that? It should make a difference. The guys want to come on up. So in that passage there in 1 Corinthians, you know, it talks about, you know, doing it properly. That it says that if we don't celebrate this in a proper manner, it's not going to go well with us. And so we need to make sure that as we celebrate communion, that we're in a right relationship with God and with others. That we have the right mindset of, why are we doing this? You know, it's not just it's a pretty poor snack if you're thinking along that line, but, you know, it's this representation, literally, of Jesus' blood in his body. And we need to do it with seriousness and to look within ourselves and say, yeah, where am I at with Jesus today? Where am I at with my neighbor today?